preach. Thankful for the conference this far and the messages that we've heard, the word of the Lord. Thankful for our home and Miss Bixby, who has asked us to come into the home and where we have a place to rest and sleep at night. And all of the love has been showed to us as we come this way. Ask that you pray for us, and about the 2nd of May, Brother Garner Smith will be helping us in a revival meeting where we are a pastor. We hope it'll be a revival. And that you might pray for us continually, I'm sure you do, as we try to labor for the Lord out at Louisville, Ohio. Now, there's been a couple of preachers that's already preached my message. There's one I thought I was going to preach. And I thought I was going to preach to preachers. But it seemed like the Lord has kind of changed that last night. We're thankful to be here for the service, and we do want you to pray for us. We are 76 years old, and we've been considering quitting and trying to pastor church. We don't know how to quit. And yes, the Lord will show us when he's there. We have several problems, bad hearing problems, several things, so we don't want to quit if we can be used, the Lord. But we don't want to continue on if we are not doing what the Lord would have us to do. We pray for us. We have the leadership of the Lord. Turn with us to 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter this morning. First Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we're bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. And our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness or guile, but as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our heart. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, not nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you are, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome to the apostles of Christ, as apostles of Christ. But we are gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted in you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you, and to any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. And we may use a few more scriptures here this morning, I don't know, but we want to try to speak this morning on a labor that was not in vain. A labor that was not in vain. And I believe that because the reason it wasn't in vain is because it was of the Lord. And whenever we do try to work for the Lord or try to serve the Lord or wherever the Lord would have us to be, I believe we need to know his leadership and guidance where it would be. I believe we need to try to know his will and leadership and guidance about the message that God would have us to bring, the lessons that is needed at all times. So Paul and others labored there, and this first verse is, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. And Paul went to the church at the places of Thessalonica. And the reason it wasn't in vain is because he was being led of the Lord. You know, in mission work or whatever work it is, we need to know we have the leadership of the Lord. And we believe that it was not in vain because they were led of the Lord. Another thing, the reason we believe it was not in vain is because they was willing to suffer to honor and glorify the Lord and to serve the Lord. You'll notice in verse 2, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi. Now all of us know today that there was great suffering at Philippi, for that they was whipped and beat and they was cast into the prison. And there was a dark hour for them, a dark time for them. But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. You know, many times after people suffers, people faces very difficult time trying to serve the Lord, they want to give up. They want to quit. That's maybe a natural thing for this flesh. But they was willing to continue. And as they went to Thessalonica, they were still preaching and teaching the same word of God, the same gospel that they'd been preaching before.
Amen.
And so he says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention or much opposition. Well, there's opposition everywhere. I believe that Paul and Silas and all of them knew as they came to these places that there's going to be opposition. And that hasn't ceased today. We're still in that kind of an age that we're living today. We're still living in an age that wherever we go, there's going to be much opposition. Think about the great number of people that is against us. We think about the church, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is presenting the truth of the Word of God. And we think about the great numbers of people of false religions around about us, thousands and thousands of people, more than we are of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those people are not for us. Those people are against us. They're going to continue to be against us. We're going to continue to battle. And we need the grace of God that we might be bold. And we have to face these times. We have to face times that maybe are suffering. I don't believe that any of us ever suffered as Paul and Silas did at Philippi. But still there is still suffering. I believe there's more suffering today because of what people says about us or says to us than they is abusing us physically in the body. And many times those things that people says is great persecution unto us. But we need to be bold. We need to continue to be bold in preaching the word of the Lord. And we believe that this message of this work here was not in vain, because God was with these people. He blessed them with the grace that they stood in need of. And even after that they had suffered and been cast into the jailhouse and beaten there, the next place that they went to, they still had the boldness, they still had the grace of God to continue to present the word of the Lord, and they're under all kind of condition. For he says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Now, you know, Paul speaks about back in 2 Corinthians, in the 4th chapter. Notice how it reads, Paul talking about the ministry he has here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, All right. We have a ministry. God has given it unto us, and we are to continue on. We're not to faint. Notice what he says in verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now the true servant of the Lord today has not, renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We've renounced that. And walking in craftiness, we have renounced that, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You know, there's a lot going on today in the world, and I'm thankful today that the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the men of God here that has preached the word of the Lord here, there hasn't been any deceitful preaching, there hasn't been anything done to try to deceive the people in any way, or anything crafty in any way. There's been preaching God's Word.
Amen.
And as we preach the Word of the Lord, we need to have faith, believing that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and will make it effective. We have no power within us, regardless of how we might be able to preach or a man might be able to preach, but we need to be faithful in presenting the truth of God's Word and believing that God in His time and place as is pleasing to Him will take the word of the Lord and make it effective. And we need to be sure that we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. There will not be dishonesty in our life. They're walking in craftiness and trying to deceive somebody in that way, or handling the word of God deceitfully. So there's a lot of deceitful things going on today, and things being used in many places, and are getting people to make professions of faith, and getting people there to do different things that's not according to the word of the Lord. God is not going to bless that, and that's not going to be a work there that will be carried on that is pleasing unto the Lord. So, whenever we go and preach the word of God, as the missionaries and the men of God did at Thessalonica, once again, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. Now, God doesn't do anything in vain. Let us notice in 1 Corinthians and the 15th chapter. Notice how that it reads here, how Paul is speaking about what the Lord did for him, and that it was not in vain. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and in verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain.
Amen.
And God will take His word, the truth of the word of the Lord, and make it effective in the lives of people, and there's not going to be anything done in vain. Now, the word goes forth, and it accomplishes that God would have it to accomplish. We may not think that He's accomplishing some things sometime, but He's accomplishing that which is according to His will and according to His purpose, not in the way that we would have it to be done. So Paul says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. He knows he's a child of God by the grace of God. He knows he's a witness for the Lord there by God's grace. And he goes on and says here, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I believe when God gets ready to save a person, when He comes to him in His mercy and His grace and His kindness there, and works on the life of that person and blesses him with the spiritual life to him, I don't believe that there's anything that can stop that. And it's by the grace of God and because of the grace of God. And so Paul and Silas and others went to Thessalonica and they preached that gospel. And that gospel that is so wonderful and so glorious today, Paul speaks about in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, and in verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the grace, gospel of the grace of God." This gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have it because of the grace of God.
Amen.
Because of God's grace. Because of His grace, He gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. Because of His grace, Jesus went to the cross willingly there and suffered and died and paid for our sin. And so we are what we are by the grace of God. And when God does something, it's not in vain. And when God got ready for our church to be organized at Thessalonica, He sent some people there, and He wasn't sending them in vain. So, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. And any mission work today, any work begun today, if we have the leadership of the Lord, we go and we are faithful to the Lord, and we present the truth of the Word of God, it's not going to be in vain. And knowing that it wasn't in vain, because these men went and they was persecuted, they was cast into the jailhouse, they suffered there, but the next place they went to, there they was ready to preach the Word of God boldly in another place, in order that the gospel would go forth. Our exhortation was not of deceit or of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, God blessing them with and putting the gospel into their hands there as He is the church today. But as we are allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our heart. So, many places today, you would hear preaching they call the gospel. But it would be maybe taking something from what the Bible says the gospel is, or it may be adding something to the gospel. Many places today there is adding to the gospel. But we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so, we speak of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of the grace of God. And they was entrusted with that, and that message is not going to be in vain. Nor as pleasing men. Now, lots of places the gospel that we stand for, it doesn't please men. They're not pleased with it, because they believe that baptism is part of it. They believe that works is part of it. They believe this is part of it. They believe something else is part of it. But the Lord tells us in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, and Paul speaks of this, how that he heard this gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain." They go back in their mind and they remember the time that Paul came and Paul and others came to Corinth, and they preached unto them. They remember that Paul and others preached unto them the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was not in vain. But it's a message that is going to accomplish that is pleasing to God. Now notice, "by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, lest you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received."
Paul remembered.
When someone came and preached the glorious gospel unto him, and Paul knew that it wasn't in vain. Made him what he was. And so, but by also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached in you, unless you have believed in vain. I delivered in you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That message is not going to be in vain. Amen. That message is preached. God is going to take that message and make it effective if it is pleasing to him. All right. Back in Thessalonians. Verse 4. For as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Oh, today it's wonderful to know what the gospel is. It's wonderful today to know that when we stand and we preach the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're pleasing God. We're doing the things that is pleasing unto him. Not pleasing men. We're not pleasing some men, but we're pleasing God. And certainly today, a work that pleases God is not going to be in vain. It's going to accomplish that wherever he would have it to accomplish. Neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Now, first part of this verse, for neither at any time used we flattering words. In other words, trying to deceive people. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. And let's notice in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians what Paul speaks about here. In 1 Corinthians he says, I and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and spirit of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, this verse in Thessalonica, neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Paul and others weren't there to become rich in this world. They wasn't there to get great worldly gains in this world. They was there because God had called them to be there. And they was there to preach the Word of God. And today, if the finances are great and we are blessed with them in this world, we need to thank God and be glad for it. If there's not, the finances are not too great, we still need to preach the Word of God and still be glad. Amen. He's called us to preach. Amen. Neither at any time use we flattering words. You know, there's a lot of deceitful things going on today. People trying to use flattering words, trying to work on people. As ye know, Paul says, you people Thessalonica know, and nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet the others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. They did not seek glory for themselves. We must not seek glory for ourselves. Notice back in the book of 1 Corinthians, and about the first chapter, I believe it is, how that it reads about this. Verse 26, for ye see not your calling, brethren, how that meant not many wise men are of the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many nobler called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not to be bring to not things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So God has called things in this world, people in this world, that many times the world has looked upon as weak. And we are weak in many ways. But God has a message for us that is powerful. And it's not we that brings about the results. It's God that will use us, that we are willing to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it might be for his honor and for his glory. And all that is accomplished, we'll give him the glory for it. And no man nor of men sought we glory. You know, it feels good sometimes, seems good when somebody says something good about you. But don't let somebody work on you and get you proud in your life about what they might think you are. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. I believe they did everything they possibly could there because God had sent them, because God was with them, because God was using them, and they knew the truth of the word of the Lord. They knew how to go about that they might work with the people there and show their love and their kindness unto them. But we are gentle among you. You know, sometimes we preachers might not sound too gentle. We're preaching. I remember in the mountains, Kentucky, one time we in the church there, and there's a young boy came, pretty small, and he went home and he said, "Boy, that preacher is mad about something this morning." So that may have been the first time he'd been to the preaching, I don't know. But he went back home and he said, "Boy, he's sure mad about something." But we don't sound so gentle sometimes. But we need to be gentle. We need to be kind in the things that we deal with people. But we're gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Having that kind of an attitude and that kind of a character and that kind of a life there before the people of Thessalonica, I believe today that that means a lot to a lost and dying world. That we act, not don't put on a front, but actually that we are doing that because God is making us do that or causing us to do it. And we're doing it because we love him. So being affectionately desirous of you. There was a great burden in the life of these men that went there. And that was another thing, that this work was not in vain, because God had sent these men. They was in the will of God. They was doing what God would have them to do. So being affectionately desirous of you. They desired to see these people saved. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Now those people, Thessalonica, they were like people everywhere else. They were just a lost bunch of people out there. Is lost people dear unto us today? Should be. You know, I tried to preach the other Sunday on, have we lost the vision and the burden? You know, God has given us a vision in his word of the lost person. Someone had that vision one day of a lost person. And they came to me. They didn't only have the vision, but they had the burden. Have we lost that? Really think about how little a vision we have of the lost, how little we think about them out there separated from God, sin and darkness, dead, and on their way to the torments of hell. And God tells us all those things, that they're under condemnation. They're helpless. And there's nothing they can do within themselves. They're going to remain that way unless God moves in their life. And God has called us, and God put a church in this world to preach the gospel, that they will realize their need of salvation.
Amen.
Well, I'm afraid today I've lost that vision to a certain extent. And I don't have the burden that I should have. So being affectionately desirous of you, we're willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. They was willing to give themselves unto the Lord. They was willing to give their life unto the Lord. They was away from home. But this work was not in vain, because it was of God. And it was, He had called men there to go and to submit themselves. They had submitted themselves to this. And they was standing for the truth of the Word of God. And their people was being saved and added to the church, and other churches were being organized. For you remember, brethren, verse 9, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because you would not be charged, we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And notice this, back in the first chapter, 1 Thessalonians. Notice what it says here in verse 4. Or verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now that's the way it comes, in word, but not just in word. It comes in power. As God makes it powerful, when it's pleasing to Him, it's not only just a message that man hears in his mind. There God makes that message effective. And that man or that person comes under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. God gives him faith to believe, grants repentance, gives him life. He becomes a child of God. Because, for our gospel came not in you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. It brings assurance. I am thankful today that I have that assurance of salvation. And I know that one day there a man stood and preached unto me. And he preached unto me the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I may have heard it a few times before, but that time it came to me in power.
Amen.
And it came to me in assurance.
Amen.
It blessed me with assurance. So this labor is not in vain. So in verse 9, again of 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians 2nd chapter, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblamably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. You know, I believe that was a help. The way they conducted themselves, they went there, they said they were the ministers of the gospel. There needs to be a kindness in our lives and a concern and a love for people. I'm afraid we don't have it sometimes as we should. We need to show people that we have a concern for them. We care for them. We're interested in them. And so, you're witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believed. I don't believe they went there trying to force people to do something with that kind of attitude. But they went there in humbleness and submissiveness. They went there in an attitude that whatever God would have them to do, and the preaching the word of the Lord, and what God would have them do, and working with the people, they submitted themselves unto that. And as they were there in kindness and mercy and willing to give their self and their time and their life there, that the gospel might go forth, I believe those people saw something there in their lives. And there, God used it, and that work was not in vain. Verse 11, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children. Now the charge that he brought to them, don't have time to do that. That we would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and his glory. Today, the work that is God began, the church that he placed in this world, and the work that he began is still going on. He's still using the same message.
Amen.
He's still using the same method.
Right.
And it's going to be a work that is not in vain. It will not return unto God void, the word of God. It'll accomplish that is pleasing unto him. And God bless you.
There certainly is a lot of encouragement there in preaching the gospel. A lot of right instruction too. The